all know, Jack LaLanne is the guru of exercise. Now, we're proud to introduce Jack LaLanne and his new Juicifier. That's right, Jack LaLanne has come out with a product to help you stay healthy, healthy as Jack is. Now, here's Jack LaLanne to tell you about his amazing Juicifier.
Hello, everyone, and I'd like to thank you all for allowing me to come into your homes this beautiful day. I'm Jack LaLanne, and I'm proud to introduce to you my Juicifier. If you use my Juicifier, you'll live a happier, healthier life. In fact, you may live to be as healthy as me, Jack LaLanne. I've been dead for 5 years, and my body doesn't even know it yet. Now that's healthy, folks. That's healthy. I'm going to give you a demonstration today of exactly what my Juicifier does. My Juicifier is amazing. Let's see what this baby can do. Let me see. I'm going to load it with a few items. Where are my vegetables at? Let me think. Here we go. We're going to put in some of this.
Jack, that's a gym bag, Jack. That's got your gym clothes in it, Jack.
Yeah. And then, how about one of these? Yeah.
Jack, that's the tissue I've been using to wipe my nose with all morning.
Is that Juicifier working? And then one of these things there. This will work.
Jack, that, for God's sake, that's your cat. Jack, open the cat. Oh.
Yeah. Can you hear that Juicifier working? It's making healthy juice that's going to make your life long and happy. Now, what you've got is a tasty, vitamin-enriched drink, which is sure to make your life a much more pleasurable and healthy experience. And who knows, your body may go on living years after you're dead too, just like Jack LaLanne. If I could pull a boat with my teeth, that should tell you, my juice is awesome. I'm Jack LaLanne. I can pull things off with my teeth. I pulled off bras, skirts, pantyhose. I owe it all to my health and my Juicifier. The Jack LaLanne Juicifier wouldn't be complete without its special safety features. If you notice, when I stick my hand in the Juicifier...
For God's sake, Jack, that thing just cut off two of your fingers. Get it, get you to a hospital.
Hello? 911?
See that? Not a scratch on me. That's because Jack LaLanne believes in safety and health and exercise. And I like to come into your home with my tight pants and exercise. Yeah, make you healthy and exercise and come into your home uninvited. And did I tell you I've been dead for 5 years? Not bad, huh, ladies? This is Jack LaLanne telling you, buy my Juicifier now. Get one before it's too late and you and your body are dead. Don't you want your family to be healthy? Okay, folks, see you around.
Families across America are enjoying Jack LaLanne's juice from his Juicifier.
I serve nothing but Jack LaLanne juice to my family. I want them to be healthy, and I want my husband to live even after he's dead. Here you go, kids.
Oh, God, Mom, what is this crap? Last time I drank this, I sat on the toilet for 3 weeks. This stuff is...
Here you go, honey. Drink your Jack LaLanne juice so that you can live after you're dead.
Oh, God. What is that, Nasty? Are you trying to kill me, you... Where's that insurance policy? Did you take an insurance policy out on me again? Damn it. God, I feel like I'm gonna puke.
Getting healthy isn't always easy, but it's a lot easier with Jack LaLanne's Juicifier. Thank you, Jack LaLanne. You're the best. Sorry that you died 5 years ago, but I'm glad you're still around to talk to us.
Yes, Jack LaLanne has been amazing us with his health for years and years. How does he do it? His special Juicifier. That's right, the Juicifier that makes, well, it makes juice that's good and keeps you healthy and helps you live a longer life. Just look at Jack LaLanne. He doesn't look a day over 159. The Juicifier is now available for the low, low price of 62 payments of $49.82. That's an amazing price for your health, don't you think? You can put anything in it, and out comes a nutritious, healthy, vitamin-enriched, drink-like substance. Jack LaLanne's Juicifier. Get one today.
Thank you. This is Ghostly Talk.
Should I read it like a vampire? I don't know. I'm just wondering.
You just made it.
Oh, I know.
You just made it, Doug.
People don't see that. They don't know that until you say it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, just like they don't know I messed with the mic stand when I had the channel off.
Until you
go, what did you just do, Scott? I go, okay.
Well, we will improve over time. I guess 8 years isn't enough.
No, it isn't. I think about 16, we'll finally
might perfect.
We'll get the finishing the sentence thing down after 16 years. Maybe
a little less.
Speaking of finishing sentences, we do have someone here who can finish many sentences
and have
and actually fill a book full of sentences.
Many
books. Who is she? Doug?
Well, for over 20 years, Heidi Hollis has been involved in looking into unsolved mysteries from a very young age. She's an advocate for bringing the ordinary and the extraordinary to a comfortable level where they can be spoken of frankly and openly with a hint of humor. And she's written for various publications and is sought worldwide for her advice and research into many of the mysteries and wonders this life has to offer. She has also appeared in numerous national and international radio and television programs and is the former host of 2 syndicated radio programs. Heidi Hollis is also a practicing occupational therapist, a lecturer, and an advice columnist, as we all very, very well know. The website, of course, www.heidihollis.com, www.alienadvice.com, and now we get to talk about www.pictureprayers.com, all of which will be linked up at the in the guest section of ghostlytalk.com. Welcome back to Ghostly Talk, Heidi. That was a mouthful. I just couldn't keep it together.
He didn't breathe the whole time. He's purple right now, Heidi.
It sounded like it. How are you guys? It's been a while.
It's been too long.
It's always too long not to talk
but
to you.
But see, you're so busy. I mean, you really, like, it's always another project. You're so into this. Heidi, how do you keep your, do you take vitamin B?
Actually, that's funny you say that. Yes, I am.
Okay, that helps. Because I just don't know how you keep your energy level up, how you keep going and looking into this stuff. And I know it must be.
They told me to drink a glass of wine every day, so I just drink the bottle. I figured that.
A bottle must just go.
I've never felt so great. Honestly, yeah. I mean, everything is pretty. Everything. My face is always warm.
There you go.
And I'm in a better mood.
Good color.
Yeah. My blood pressure's going through the roof, but hey. Sorry. You guys go ahead and have your conversation, because...
How do you get... No, I'm not the only host of Ghostly Talk.
No, I know.
Heidi, because from the shadow figures, alienadvice.com, just all the stuff. Your trip when you went on that just magical, incredible trip, all over the globe. you just get it done. You're doing all this work. How do you get your ideas? Like, what's your inspiration? Because I just don't have enough energy to follow through with everything that I do. And you're just like, oh, you know what I think I want to do next, and you go off and do. You have an interesting story every time we talk to you.
Right? Yeah.
So what inspires you?
You know, I really like to, you know, take a closer look at things when something crosses my path. You know, it's like I'm not a type of person that's just to go, oh, well, whatever that was. I like to take a closer look and, you know, bring it up and examine it and try to make sense of it if I can. But, you know, it's funny. It's like you guys know the wide variety of topics that I cover. And it's funny because it's so many – well, I shouldn't say so many. I'm getting advice from a certain someone that's telling me, well, you have to choose one or the other. You got to write on the paranormal or write on the holy stuff. And I'm like, you know, I see how they bridge together. And it's like I'm trying to make sense of all of it because it's like – so many people that are into different religions and whatnot, they feel like they've got to give up their faith because they saw a UFO or something. I think that's ludicrous. So I'm trying to, you know, bridge the gap and try to make sense of all these things without making it sound like a new religion or cult or something.
Well, Heidi, we've been working on that for years here.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you said that.
I mean, all that. Go ahead, Doug. It's all you.
Well, what is the mantra that we have in of broadcasting? What's the mantra that we keep?
Well, we're convinced
recurring themes.
Well, Doug, we're convinced that there are, you know, I only want to use bizarre or strange. There are anomalous things. Well, that's the key word for today, anyways. There are anomalous things that happen, whether it be, you know, ghost or an obvious one, UFO or something strange, you know, ancient mysteries, anything around the planet. Both of us, I know we share that opinion, that we're convinced that there is something going on, but it's how it's all related that I think the true mystery is. And that's what you're doing is a big part of that, I think, Heidi.
I'm trying, and it's funny, though, because it's like, you know, I understand there are those people that have their faith, and you know, they're hardcore into what it is that they believe, and it's like, oh, gosh, you're one of those people that, you know, believes UFOs are out there and aliens are flying them, you know, oh, I don't know if I could buy anything you're talking about then. And it's like, come on, people, you know, there's really, yeah, it's, we're using different words nowadays, but I think a lot of the words that we use to call different creatures like aliens are what was written of in the Bible as demons and angels sometimes, you know, it's like, I think people need to have a more open mind to what it is that is going on in this world.
Well, it's perception, I think. I mean, we're much more sophisticated now, at least in our minds we are. In my opinion, we're not, but that's a whole different show. But, you know, back then in earlier times, you know, in some ways, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Slicing bread is just amazing. I think that's great.
Now we can make them picture perfect every single time.
Yeah,
but back then it was more like hack it off with a
gnaw it off.
Things have improved.
Things have drastically improved based on that. But the whole idea, I think, is that back then it's perception. Like I was saying, what we perceive something today, you know, in our minds, you know, let's say 5,000 years ago, was perceived completely different. Okay,
right.
And what you're influenced by, what you're told every day is a lot different than what we're told every day now. So, yeah, Heidi, I can see what you're talking about. That, yeah, if I was herding my flock, you know, and I look up and I see the ship fly by or something like that, I'm gonna definitely think of that differently than I would now as I was walking down the street with my MP3 player and my green tennis shoes, watching cars come by. It's a different situation we live in now, so perception is going to be different.
Oh, gosh, yeah, I think so. I've also thought, you know, it's like, you know, if I was back then in those days, 5,000 years ago, like you're saying, and see, you know, a person levitating off the ground, you know, I would think, well, they must have wings behind their back that I just can't see right now, you know, must be an angel. So
again, it's perception. So you're tying these gaps together or trying to just look into it. Because I think a true paranormal investigator, and I find myself doing this more and more now, Heidi. And Doug, I want you to smack me on the head about this too. Heidi, feel free to smack me on the head too. And I was talking to someone last night at that luge party we were at. And I did say that. I'm like, a true person who studies the otherworldly or the paranormal, whatever you want to call it, they analyze everything. Yeah, and it gets taxing at times. But you really look into things and try to drill down to the root of what is going on there, which may be causing this thing. And I find myself doing that. And you've seen me over the years, Doug. I mean, the toilet handle incident, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, for God's sake, it's a broken toilet handle. Relax a little bit, buddy. But no, I maniacally went nuts on this thing and wrote a whole paper on this, but I'm looking into it, though.
It meant something to you.
But Heidi, you're looking into the same way. I think a true paranormal investigator, that's what they do with these things.
And evidently, lately you're into picture prayers. Now, I remember as a kid, here's my brief fling or whatever with prayer. My grandmother, my dad's mother, she was like, okay, you've got to, you know, when she was watching us, when my mother was in the hospital for something, and she had something, you know, anyway. We had to learn how to pray. So we're going to learn how to pray. And so she tells us how to pray, and we did. And I didn't notice anything of it. I didn't think anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yet every now and then, for no apparent reason, I mean, I didn't not like it. I didn't not do it. I didn't, you know, I just, you know, did what I was told. And didn't notice any improvement or whatever in my life. I didn't really care at the time.
Right.
Seven or eight.
Just come out with it, Doug, for God's sake.
But ever since then, you know, sometimes I will actually just, well, now I call it talking to the universe. I have a good heart-to-heart with the universe. Mm-hmm. That's what I call it now. Okay. And every time I do it, I do it either when I'm driving, or I do it when I'm meditating, or I do it when I'm watching TV, or I do it when I stub my toe, which is what I do instead of cursing. I do all this stuff. Right?
They tie the show up there, Doug.
But I know that goes right back to the first hour.
Yeah. Nice.
But no, I talk to the universe, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then that way I've got it pretty much covered. If it's God or if it's Buddha or if it's, you know, whoever, I've got it covered because, you know, universe is a pretty big word. And it covers a lot. So I talk to the universe. That's what I do, right? Mm-hmm. But you were, tell us about prayer in your life, how you thought about it and how it came back around to actually working it and studying it now.
Yeah, well, it's kind of weird. It's like, I guess I was kind of like you, you know, prayer was introduced to me when I was pretty young. And honestly, I mean, I was raised in a Christian household, whatever, and, you know, went to church, and it was like, you know, this thing that we had to do in church. To me, it was just a practice to sit still as a kid, you know. It's just like, everybody's got to be quiet. Don't rustle your papers and bow your head when everybody's doing it, you know. It was rather... I don't know. It felt so restricted, and I felt uncomfortable. And then I lost my mom when I was 7 years old, and one of my sisters, my older sisters, came down to talk to me and my younger sister, and soon after my mom had passed, and said, "Are you saying to mom that you love her every night?" And, you know, being literal as kids, you know, I was ready to bust out of the room and go looking for my mom. I'm like, "What? She's hiding in the house somewhere? You know, she really isn't dead, you know?" And it was funny. She's like, "No, you know," she realized that, you know, we're about ready to run out of the room, and she's like, "Oh, I better rethink what I'm saying." She's like, "No, are you praying to God every night and saying hello to mom, because, you know, he's the one that has her?" And I just felt like, oh my God, you know, not him, you know. My dad, soon after my mom died, and he said to us kids, "I guess, you know, God needed her more than we did." And I'm like, "Phew." You know, I doubt it. You know, like, that was the furthest thing from, you know, the truth, I thought. Mm-hmm. And now my sister's asking me to talk to the guy that took my mom away. You know, I'm like, no way, Jose, this isn't going to happen. But then I'm like, okay. It made sense, you know. Okay, he's got her. I guess I better say hello, you know. And,
but
so,
your logic is impeccable on this, Heidi. I have to say,
infallible.
It's beautiful,
but it totally makes sense. I can picture myself being a young age and going through this exact process.
Yeah, I really can.
Exactly. I mean, that was my introduction, but you know, it's funny because it's like, okay, we have to say in Jesus' name, you know, when we're done with our prayer, and you know, it's like, we can't speak directly to mom, so we have to give her a signal. It's like, well, what's the signal going to be? And we're like, oh, we'll give her a blowing kiss, you know, at the end of our prayers. And I'm like, okay, so we'll say hello to God, God bless so-and-so, and then give this blowing kiss to our mom. And they were like, hold on, we had two Pekingese pooches that had recently passed over, too. Can we give them a couple of kisses, too? So at the end of each of all of our prayers, me and my sister, we would always do these three blowing kisses at the end of our prayers. And it just became this habit, and it became this routine, like, throughout my childhood into early adulthood, where it was like, you know, I was still saying the prayer of a kid, essentially. You know, it was like, of course, I kind of expanded a little bit, and was like, you know, oh, you know, God, please give me the strength not to hit my sister that irritates me, you know, and you know, stuff like that. And it was just kind of crazy, but I was like, I'd get so bored of my own prayers that I'd fall asleep in the middle of them. I mean, getting down on my knees wasn't always the thing to do, so I'd say my prayers in bed at night, you know, I'm laying under the covers, and it would be so boring that I would fall asleep. And I'd hoped, you know, that some way, somehow, that there had to be another way to pray. And I tried different things. I tried praying in the middle of the day, like you're talking about, Doug. You know, it's just like when you stub your toe or whatever while you're driving, you know. But then it was like, I don't know, I was so distracted and it just didn't seem to flow for me so well. Still, you know, seeking a different way was a goal, but it was nothing that I could have truly ever planned for that had happened to me. And I'm sure you guys are the same, where it's like, you know, you investigate a lot of odd things, and it's like if something shows up that's a little peculiar, you're going to look further into it and explore we're talking about, you know?
Of course.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I started off with the whole ghost thing, then I went into the alien stuff, and then, lo and behold, shadow people, a topic that no one knew of, you know, when I wrote it, and thought I was nuts when I wrote, what the heck are shadow people, you know? Mm-hmm. I wrote that first book. But then to come, you know, to have had, you know, I spoke to you guys the last time, last year, about my book, Jesus No Joke.
And yeah.
Having had an encounter with Jesus, of all things, you know, come on. You know, I'm a paranormal person, you know. But I had something else happen to me that really kind of changed my whole view about praying. And I was at another conference. It was in April of 2000. And I had one of these things that I tend to call a waking dream. I don't know. I was at this conference, and you guys know how it is when you're at a conference, and you're meeting all these cool people, and you don't ever want to sleep.
Oh, yes. I remember.
I still fear the conference that all of us get together at, because...
Oh, God.
Yeah, we better... Yeah. Get the uppers going, because we're going to be spending the night just jamming. Yeah. Anyways, I know what you're talking about.
Caffeinated
weekends. We've had weekends where I can only identify a million times over with you, Heidi.
Oh yeah. Oh God, man. I was at this conference, and it's like I'm not the person. I'm not a drinker or anything like that. I just go and I just chat my brains out, you know. And you don't want to sleep. And I was there with a group of friends, and God, I think I went to finally go take a I guess you'd call it a nap at about 5 in the morning or something.
Right. Yeah, very familiar with the concept.
Yeah. And one of my friends that was kind of keeping pace with me, you know, we had a multi-shared hotel room. You know, you do it the cheap way to get around. And he went and he crashed on his bed, and I went and I crashed on my bed. And, again, it sounds familiar, like what happened with the Jesus encounter. I just put my head down on my pillow, and I felt like I was in another place, and I'm like, whoa, you know, where am I? And I saw this like hazy, like blue mist, and when it cleared, I could see people like kneeling with their heads down, mumbling and praying. Essentially, they were kind of expressing themselves to God, and I'm like, wow, what am I seeing here? You know, I couldn't hear outright words, but I could get a sense of what they were saying, and it was like I saw their words or form of their energy kind of coming from their lips and kind of forming. And as the energy like came forward, like these images started to form in front of me, and the people in prayer started to fade away. And it was strange, because it was like some of their images kind of lack some luster or color, or had some missing parts, and I'm like, you know, I wondered, you know, why the heck am I here, you know? But then that kind of left me, as I felt this urge to kind of like make sense of what I was seeing, you know. And I couldn't get like a full meaning of what it was that they were praying about, but I could kind of sense that the energy wasn't so complete with what I was seeing, you know. And it took some effort, but I was able to kind of figure out the puzzle that was in front of me, and the prayers kind of like left my view. And then it was strange. It's like all of a sudden I saw off to one side of me, I saw, it looked like a life movie is what I call it. It was like a life full of visuals, graphs, cards, homes, bills, love, pain, all this stuff. And as the movie was playing, like images came. As the movie was playing, like images kind of, how do you say, copy pasted? You know how you do that? You know? And they went to like the left of my view, and then like it left it from the spots in the life movie, like this energy poured forward from it, and that kind of went to the right of my view, and very much like how you would put like, you know, glue on the back of a photo, like the energy, the pain, the love, or whatever it was that came from this life movie kind of sucked into the images that were to my left and became this brilliant ball of light and like spun in front of me and sent off to God is what it felt like. And up until this point, I mean, this is, I'm watching this lesson without words that kind of felt like intentions were floated my way. And it said, take what you see in your life, envision it, and put your feelings of concern to what you see. So then I'm like, okay. You know, and I just felt the urge to kind of practice it right then and there. And I thought of my parents, you know, and I thought, you know, oh, I hope they live long, happy lives. And, you know, I kind of closed my eyes to kind of get a full, you know, full vision in my head, I guess you could say. And, you know, put my intentions to it kind of sent it on to, you know, I always say in Jesus' name, you know, and sent it on its way.
Mm-hmm.
And after I did that, I didn't, again, it was like before this, I really didn't hear direct words. It was more like intentions floated. But then I heard these direct words, and it said, words fall short of what is meant. Prayer can be done this quickly. This is how we communicate. And the presence that I felt, you know, and I didn't see an entity or, you know, an angel, but it felt very angelic-like, the presence that I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the direct sense that this was how the angels prayed. I mean, it sounds so bizarre. It sounds so strange, even for me, you know, to a lot of the things that I researched and experienced, I was just like, wow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's when I woke up from this, you know, it made direct sense. I, you know, hollered at my friend across the room, oh my God, you know, I wouldn't believe what just happened. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, well, that makes sense. Like, wonder why no one ever thought of that. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You know, it was just really strange. But it's like, for me, it was so uplifting. I mean, it was such a different concept for myself. And I am not a genius, and I don't give myself credit for having come up with this. But, you know, it makes sense. It's like, you know, if you believe in angelic-like beings out there, I mean, do you think that they really, you know, mumble their words to God, hey, by the way, there's a guy over here being an a-hole, you know, could you help out over here or something? You know, I would imagine that they have a different sense of communicating, you know. So this was something that was really eye-opening for me. And for a person to be able to be in the middle of, you know, a party or whatever, enjoying themselves with their family and just like, you know, to be able to take it all in as it's happening instead of waiting till, you know, you go to bed at night to say your prayers and or whatever, you know, if you could just exude what it is that you feel right then and there and send your appreciation or, you know, you see your uncle across the room that's sick, you know, send the thought to God, you know, could you help him out? You know, it's not a matter of taking out time for prayer, you know, because I really think that, like you, you know, what you were saying earlier, even Doug, it's like it's something that should be able to be done all day.
Yeah, completely.
I agree, and you know, this is a profound experience that you've just talked about because, mm-hmm. Well, first of all, it means that she works even when she's going to try and take a nap.
I'm not surprised by
it
all.
I literally always thought you worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And now I know. We have the proof now.
Right here on the show. Right here. She's just said, yes, I work even when I go take a nap. it's so profound and it's so meaningful. And I mean, we've heard the little indicators throughout our lives. You know, pictures
right.
worth a thousand words.
Right.
You know, God is omnipotent and omniscient and can, you know, and feels, you know, love mm-hmm. and things like that. Mm-hmm. So how couldn't we have said, you know, okay, well, just sitting there and in a monotone voice saying, please take care of grandma and grandpa.
Right.
And
it's so like add to my checklist for things to do today. You know, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
Gotta reserve this piece of time for
right.
before I go to bed to say my prayers and most likely fall asleep in the middle of them.
And I've done that.
Right.
I've done that doing the
oh,
old
yeah.
way. Doing the yeah. new way where I just, you know, rattle on to the universe.
And I do the same.
It's a lot more fun.
No, I do the same thing.
But the universe doesn't talk back to me, though. So, not yet. So I just, like, send it off and hope.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much what you're saying with the with picture prayer.
Right.
You know, you encapsulate all this stuff, your intentions, your emotions, your
right.
wishes, your hopes, your dreams, you encapsulate it all into this mental picture and then send it. You know, exactly. and then it will, mm-hmm. you know, it will be received by, you know, angelic realms and, yeah. and God and that's, it just seems so, it's efficient, first of all. It also seems
efficient.
A heck of a lot, it seems of a lot more evolved than us talking like this through our larynxes and hoping that...
Well, yeah.
There's some kind of invisible
ear. I get my most done when I'm not talking at all.
Right.
I've been saying that for years to people.
Right.
I get the most done when I'm... my busiest days are the days where I don't interact with people in any way, usually. It's just I'm on my own, and I have to brain through things. And, yeah, you know, like I think we're all talking about here. I know throughout my days, I'm out walking or whatever now. I mean, I do a lot of thinking.
Yeah.
And sometimes it is. You know, I really need to get this thing straightened out. And I was told years ago by people, you need to picture these things in your mind. You know what I mean? And I'm not talking about, like, prayer itself. But I'm talking about, you know, just, you know, picturing yourself. Like, this is where I want to be at. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to happen. You know, just make a mental picture of this thing and see yourself in that situation or whatever it may be. You know, and it's very similar in a lot of ways. But again, it's just deep thought, and it's a true. I mean, this makes prayer a true expression, in my opinion. I think. I mean, as opposed to something that you know is something you have to do at the end of the day. This is a true expression now.
Exactly.
And that's what makes it beautiful, I think. So.
Yeah, it does, and it's so effortless. I mean, it really has. It's changed so much, in my personal life because it's like. For me, I'm never alone. I feel like these have turned into conversations with God. These haven't been, you know, prayer is me asking for something or watch for that. You know, it's been I feel like there's just this open channel. I guess that's a good way of putting it. Very much of an open channel where, you know, I could even make a comment, you know, like a joke. You know, I really can't stand spiders, and to see one crawling across the floor, and I, you know, shoot a thought off to God, like, did you really have to make so many different variations of that ugly creature? You know, you know what I'm saying?
I absolutely
my God.
Agree. But
you are...
Do you know what, though?
You're speaking Semic now.
Yeah, you are. You are
speaking
my language.
You are speaking his language.
But you know what's interesting? I wonder, because if we're supposed to have a relationship with, you know, a higher power, a being, a universe, you know, whatever, with God. We're supposed to have a relationship with God. What kind of relationship is it if just before you go to bed you say, "Dear God, thank you for the day. The blessings I received are absolutely wonderful. Please watch over, you know, my so-and-so and so-and-so."
Exactly.
And, yeah, it's just, you know, that's not a relationship.
That's a bad marriage. That's not a relationship. It's a bad marriage, literally.
Yes,
you're right.
It's so dry. And, you know, I tell people, I'm like, if I had a friend that I didn't call, they would get the hit that I really don't give a rat's butt, you know, about them. You know, it's like it's like how do you create this connection with God? And that's something that I kind of poured into this book too, because I really wanted to see what it was that made us look for that connection with God, and how do we create it if we're not talking to Him, and if we're doing these old, ancient, rehashed, you know, one that you learned, you know, that the pastor just mumbled last Sunday, you know. How are we truly expressing ourselves and who we are? How do we share a part of who we are if, you know, most of the day is blocked, you know, of even thinking of God until you go to bed at night or something?
Well, and I think that's what's really beaten up on religion over, I mean, for a very long time, I think, is the arcane practices, the monotony, and basically, you know, something that you dread to do on Sunday. I mean, Kevin Smith illustrated that brilliantly, I think, in Dogma, the film Dogma, because that was his idea, was to go, look, you know, we need to evolve here and understand what the idea of God is, not just having to jump through the hoops for God, because I don't think that's what he wants.
Right. You know? But you know what I think is important, though, too, because it's like I met a lot of people who are very passionate about what it is they believe in. It's like, and I'm not here to poo-poo what works for other people, you know?
Of course not.
It's like, you know, that's cool. If it works for them, awesome. But I think there are a ton of us that are very much looking to make something a little bit more right. I don't know. It's like, and we all seem to feel that desire. It's so common out there, and it's always interesting for me to hear, you know, well, what drives you to even look for a God or to make that connection? What is it in you? You know, you feel like something's missing. A lot of them feel like I'm supposed to look, the cool thing for me with talking to people about, you know, picture prayers and how it is I came about, you know, discovering it and practicing it in my life, is it works for people of any kind of faith, you know. I think we all do have some kind of manner of connecting back to what we think is our source, our God, you know. And I've been really fortunate to have the opportunity to talk to so many different types of people with so many different backgrounds. It's so interesting to me. But
I can't imagine it being like objectionable to right. anybody, because as far as I'm concerned, it's building a relationship with that higher power, with that, you
right.
know, whatever you grew up, you know, believing in, or whatever you found along your journey. You have, you know, it's just building a relationship. For me, I just call it the universe. And I know that after I talk to the universe, I must look like a fool when I'm doing it. But after I'm done, I feel complete. I feel a part of something. I feel loved. I feel like for a brief moment I've got a spot, and I'm not alone. Like you had mentioned, I'm
right.
you know, not alone. And
right.
I just always, I guess, imagined that the universe, or in other people's cases, God, can just read your mind and automatically know what you're thinking. But,
right,
but really,
right.
who's got time for all that? So I wonder if that's not a brilliant way to encapsulate everything and then just let it go. It would help relieve stress. It would help you, help guide you, because
yeah.
then your subconscious, I mean, if you get scientific on it, or psychological, once you've released that concern, right,
mm-hmm.
in you know, in such a meaningful way, because, you know, pictures and emotions and all that, you know, send that on. Once you've released it, your subconscious can get to work on it. You know, I mean,
right.
and that's where big things are done. Like, you know, yeah, I can, my consciousness can do math and you know, and it can, you know, read and it can comprehend things, but it doesn't really work at a deep, deep level like your subconscious, you know, which is working,
right.
you know. So I just think that that's a very powerful thing that you happened across, and thank heavens you did.
Yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, it gets a lot more people to start using their noggin, because in all honesty, I mean, what percentage of our brain is it that we use? Again, I can't remember, but it's like...
It's only like 10 or 15%. It's
yeah,
not much.
Yeah, it's very little. And it's like, you know, I really think that for myself anyways, it's like, because I feel like I'm constantly in conversation with God, you know, like, oh, have a look at this, you know, what should I do with about that? And it's like, for me, it's almost like a step toward that little magical word that we hope exists somehow is telepathy, you know. If we had receptors out there that could hear our thoughts and who we're pointed it towards, you know, perhaps this would be one way of going that route. But, you know, I could only dream. But anyways, but it's like, you know, it's truly, because I don't feel like there's no place that, you know, God cannot look when I'm having this new relationship with him, with this different form of prayer that I've been doing as of late, you know. And it's been really a such an uplifting thing for me, and it's like, you know, a lot of people, I'm so glad, I love talking to you guys, because you could totally relate to, you know, touching on different subjects. But a lot of people, a lot of radio shows that I've gone on, they're like, so Heidi, have you fallen off the boat? You know, what is this? You know, you're not talking about shadow people and aliens all the time. You know, I think you're just sick, you know, and do this or that. And it's so like, you know, no, I haven't fallen off any boat. I'm still on the same planet that you are. You know, it's like, I just like to, you know, look into other things too. But I am still visiting on the shadow people stuff and the hat man stuff. And, you know, but
what's wrong with stretching out a little bit and learning some new things? That's what that's what Ghostly Talk is all about.
And in my experience, and I really think that developing a spiritual side.
Mm-hmm.
is something that is one of the things that I think that we're here for. I think it's the meaning of, I think it's a part of the meaning of life.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
and I think that you, and I You know, I know that there's religious, you said dogma, the movie, but there is religious dogma out there that, that tries to, you know, rail you into the, you know.
Well, they want
to
fit you into this perfect little square. This is what we do here. If you can't fit into this thing, you're going to go to hell.
Right, and I think that that's a little, you know, one-sided, a little one-minded.
Well, he's worse than the cops, then.
Well, I mean, yeah. You know, the SS and stuff.
I mean, come on.
I just think that it's, you know, that that is very, very one-track mind. I think that there's more to developing your spiritual side, and I think that because this is no longer the Crusades, right, or the Spanish Inquisition,
I think
that because we should have grown beyond that, and I think we should have grown faster than we did as a society. I think that things, you know, politics and things just really dragged us down. But I think that part of the reason we're here is to develop a spiritual side, and I'm always looking for that. And that's part of why I do Ghostly Talk, is that I want to grow in, you know, I want to grow scientifically, I want to grow as a ghost researcher, I want to grow as a spiritual being as well, you know.
Right.
And so running across these ideas is important to me, and I think that's probably why I'm here, and I'm so happy that we get to discuss all this stuff openly.
Yeah.
But there are people who really do live in a box, or never want to at least open it up a little bit and peek out. They just want to. All right, I'm a ghost researcher, and that's it.
Yeah, I say there are real humans here because they are just, you know, they are the box.
Right, I believe it.
They really are the box. They really do not see what we see.
In this field now, I mean, in the ghost research field or the paranormal club field, whatever you want to call it, the matching T-shirt field, I like to call it. I see it over and over again, and I'm not trying to knock the, you know, people involved with this sort of thing, but I see, and we said this not too long ago, that the word scientific is being used way too
liberally
nowadays, I think.
Yes, it is.
I think a lot of people are using the term scientific. They don't really understand what the term scientific really means. And, you know, even though I want to see zeros and ones and blacks and whites when it comes to evidence in paranormal or ghost research, the fact of the matter is that I think after, you know, doing the show for, you know, 7.5 years now, like we've done, if there's one thing I have learned, it's that there are no blacks and whites of this field. It's a lot of gray areas, and unfortunately, it isn't going to always fit into the scientific.
So all we can do is do what makes sense to us, and I think that might be why Heidi's on the show. It's because you're going out, you're finding all this interesting stuff. And
I want to talk about interesting ideas. I don't want to talk about data. I want to talk about interesting ideas. That's what the paranormal is about.
Right, because I'm sure you could sit there, Heidi, and you could say, okay, well, I've heard about, you know, 427 shadow people. I've heard about 750 ghosts.
This has to be said, though, because just an hour ago, we were talking statistics, though.
Right.
But they were interesting statistics.
Right. Well, there was a difference.
But there was a difference.
You could kill me.
No, I'm serious. But it was at Duke University. I mean, come on. It was really interesting stuff. And we didn't sit there and go, well, there's a statistic that says, we didn't sit there and talk numbers like eggheads for an hour. It does have its place in the paranormal. I understand
it does.
That. But we're talking about ideas here when it gets to its very core.
And I love it when you go off on one of these things and you come back with an idea that really means something to people. How many people have you told about picture prayer, and have they incorporated it into their lives and benefited?
You know, from what I've heard, and someone that even took a little bit and put in their own book, but yeah, that's always funny. but yeah, isn't that hilarious?
Yeah.
I get a kick out of that sort of thing. But I honestly, a lot of people have told me, you know, it's like, wow, you know, it's really opened things up for me. I don't feel so darn, you know, restricted, and I could just, you know, have these talks, and I don't have to be so formal about it. I don't know why people are so hard on themselves, you know, when it comes to their faith, you know, and, you know, it's funny because it's like, you know, my book, Jesus Is No Joke, I'd recently written an article that was kind of based on it, and I had someone, a friend of mine, read it that is, you know, kind of strict with their religion, Christian religion, and they read it, and I'm like, so what'd you think? You know, I'm kind of colorful the way that I write, you know, I'm not anal in any sense, but I keep it real, you know, it's like, I'm not going to be insulting either, and they just kind of, you know, put their head down. It's like, oh, if that's for a Christian, you know, audience, I can't see anybody taking you serious. And I'm like, why? You know, was something insulting in there? No. It was just you're so happy and joyful the way you wrote that. You know, I'm like, whoa. Wow. You know, like, it's got to be this monotone, put your head down, be obedient, you know. People are so, you know, that was the one thing, you know, when I wrote this this book, Picture Prayers, based on going through the journey of you know, Picture Perfect Prayer, you know, it was literally, I felt like I had to be perfect and I had to be so strict and, you know, oh, be afraid of God because if you curtsy wrong, he's going to strike you down, you know. I had such a fear about God. Why would I want to talk to him, you know, inappropriately while I'm doing anything?
Well, there you go. I mean, why would you? There's people that I fear. My bosses, politicians. Okay, you know,
right.
And those are people that even if I had the opportunity to really talk to them, I wouldn't because
right.
I don't
right.
want to talk to them. So
right.
again, this is coming down to logic again because, you need to pray to God every night. And if you don't pray to God, he's going to throw you into a pit of fire again. Okay. And I'm not squashing on people who have beliefs. If that's what you, that's cool. But I mean, I keep hearing, and people commenting on this over the last couple hundred years, we hear about love and love and love and love. And then the next thing we hear about, well, you didn't love, so now you're going to go to hell.
Right.
You're going to die in the pit of fire. And it's like, okay, you're scaring the piss out of me here.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, be respectful of God. Of course, you know, of course I am. Of course, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, my goodness, for a person to be the first one to pick up a boulder and throw it at you and, you know, do not judge, you know, God's the one to be the judge. And, wow, the first person to, you know, tell me I'm wrong is usually the holy roller, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, unbelievable. And it's like I really try to approach the topics that I do as humbly as I can and as honest as I can. Mm-hmm. I come from a paranormal background, for crying out loud. For me to take a step forward and to talk about, you know, having seen Jesus and had an angelic presence come to me and teach me a different way to pray, you better believe it was something unbelievable that just knocked my socks off, that I couldn't keep my mouth shut about it. I had to go and talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's like I'm trying to, you know, just be like anybody else because I am like anybody else. I'm trying to keep it real and to just share it because I meet so many people at different conferences, whatever it is, that will pull me to the side and, you know, and say, you know, I could be at a UFO conference. Oh, so I heard you saw Jesus. You know, let me tell you about my personal Jesus encounter. And I'm like, why aren't these people speaking up? I really wouldn't seem so strange or rare if more people spoke openly, but they're afraid to be made fun of, to have their special encounter ruined by somebody's laughter. And I'm the type of person where I really don't care that people are going to smirk or you know, I get these comments where it's like, oh, well, Heidi, you know, you've dealt with aliens. How dare you, you know, talk about Jesus? You know, it's like, look, I'm not blending the two topics. You know, I could, but why go there? As long as people can get it that, you know, these things do happen, you know, whether we believe in it or not. And I'm doing my best to try to, you know, keep the lines clear, yes, whatever, but, you know, as long as people are understanding of it. But, you know, yeah, I could write a big old giant book and to show how everything connects, you know, but it's like a lot of people will probably pass out, including my parents. But, you know, maybe one day that book will have to be done. I wish I could write in my sleep.
See, all these ideas, though, they all seem to just come to the same fine point, though, because ridicule for one thing, you know, questioning things for another thing, and I've gotten plenty of fun email on this stuff from people.
Bastard, crucify you out front of you,
but I believe that, you know, these are these things that we've been, unfortunately, over the ages, they've carried along, and we've been programmed. I mean, obviously, we've been saying this for years. 15 years ago, we wouldn't be talking about this stuff on even an internet-type radio show. We wouldn't be talking about this stuff. We wouldn't do it. And now, it's, you know, this last decade, And it's become the decade, in my opinion, of a lot of enlightenment and spiritualism. I think it's a revitalization, personally, that people are talking about this stuff. And I think that's super cool. But it's this whole idea, though, again, of being ridiculed. And and I think these things do go back to this old-timey religion-type stuff where, you know, you don't question anything. You just do what you're told. Dance, monkey, dance, or you're going to go to hell, period. And, again, I mean, I always say the Egyptians, they built a pyramid because, you know, the idea is they built a pyramid because they were going to go to heaven if they built this pyramid. That's one hell of a motivator to go to hell. I mean heaven, right? I mean, that's a real big motivator. Like, look, if we build this pyramid for the Pharaoh, we'll go to heaven with him. Well, heck yeah, get to work, guys. This is going to be awesome. Woo, we're all going to heaven, right? Cool.
All right.
Now, the opposite now we think about this, though. Now, if you do that, you're going to go to hell. You're going to spend the rest of it. What a motivator.
It's a negative motivation.
What a motivator. Exactly. It's the same type thing.
Well, then I wonder if people could open the lines of communication with the higher power, right, with the highest power. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm not saying God, but I mean, you know, God or whatever your particular religion believes in. If you could open these lines, because obviously I think picture prayer has a heck of a lot more bandwidth than audio prayer. I do. I think it has a lot more bandwidth. I say bandwidth because, and I really mean it. I mean, like, you know, AM radio has a bandwidth of however much wavelength, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got television needs a lot more bandwidth because it's pictures and audio.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have HD TV, which is even more bandwidth, right? And I mean,
well, we better get the Best Buy. Ooh, I said
Best
Buy. Oh, we better get the BB right here and take care of our stuff.
Cursing, but the.
We're not praying in high definition. What the hell's going on here?
But no, I think that picture prayer would be a lot more bandwidth. I mean, you're talking, you know, putting feelings and pictures and emotions and your request or what you've noticed or your intentions and you make all this and you send it and that's a lot of stuff, because people are complex, and I think your prayers should be, too.
Oh, and, I think so, too.
Yeah, and so I think that this would be a lot more bandwidth. What could this kind of thing do if we weren't limited to going, you know, either when you're going to bed or when you're sitting down for a meal or when you're going, or every Sunday when you go to church and you kneel and you do the ritual and blah, 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 and then you get out a few words and then you're like, oh, I don't know what to say now, so I'm done. And you know, in Jesus' name. And then, you're done and you escape. But if you had a high bandwidth, relationship with your higher power, what would that do to the human race as a whole?
Jeez, I think it's limitless. I really do. I really think it's limitless because there's so much that can be put in, so much more information. You know what I mean? It's
mm-hmm.
like, I've told people, it's like, you know, pull out a photograph and, you know, try to describe to me exactly what it is that's going on in that photograph. And, you know, they could fill, you know, 1,000 pages and they'll forget the dog lip, the dog hair stuck on somebody's lip, you know. It's like, you know, it's like in the smiling in the photo or something. They'll miss something.
Yeah.
But if you were there in the moment when it was happening, you've got the whole picture. You've got everything that was going on. You've got the emotion. You've got the joke that was cracked or the foul odor in the air, you know. It's,
yeah,
you know,
none of this had to be there, Craig.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Right.
But, it, you know, it's like you're able to capture it all. It, you know, people really, really need to be a lot more, it's not carefree, but just being a lot more open about what it is that, mm-hmm. you know, they live and experience with God. You know, he is, you know, so wide open to the life experience, and we limit it with our few words, our mumbled thoughts, and, you know, it's so much bigger than that, and I think it's such a shame, and I really try to dig deep within myself, you know, and be as honest as I could when I wrote picture prayers to, you know, to exhibit what it was, what drove me, what motivated me, what got me started to even reach out to God. You know, I want to say hello to my mom and my dead Pekingese, you know. It was no other reason, you know. It was just like, you know, that sitting, practicing the sit still in church thing that they called prayer really wasn't that interesting to me, you know. And it's like that fear of going to hell or heaven or, you know, do good. And, you know, it was interesting and all. It was a motivator to an extent. But then that just means you're going through the motions and not the emotions, you know?
Yeah.
You're tap dancing as fast as you can, so God's entertained by, you know, your fancy footwork, but not what you're doing, you know, really. So,
well, I have to point this out, too. As we were, and I think I may have even quoted Carlin. Well, I've quoted Carlin plenty of times on this show, which people think is hysterical, but, you know, whatever. And we were at a party last night, we were at the Luge party last night, and we were talking about, somebody I was talking to said she loves the band Blues Traveler.
Uh-huh.
And John Popper, the band Blues Traveler. And we got to talking about music, like a really, you know, like just, you know me, when it we
started music
really
comes up,
tripped out with music.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's, you know, it isn't just a metal song, man. It's an anthem. It's a declaration. You know, I just can't say, yeah, I dig those guys. You know? No, but I think I may have said this before, and I think this applies to prayers. Completely applies to prayers the same way in this sense. George Carlin said in one of his trips that, you know, when it comes to music and the blues especially, you know, it's not enough to know the notes that are being played, it's to know why the notes are being played. Right?
Yeah.
And for God's sakes, when you think about prayer, I mean, a lot of people do the exact same thing. They just kind of jump through the emotions and they know what notes to play and then they fall asleep. But do they really know what they're doing and why they're doing it? And I think that that's a brilliant, I mean, as far as not me, but Carlin, it's a brilliant analogy still for that thing too.
Oh, God, yeah.
Do you know
God.
What time it is?
Yeah, and it sucks because I'm really jamming on this thing. This
me too. I never thought I could talk about prayer for an hour, and but with Heidi Hollis, anything is possible, I'm telling you, because she probably sat up for 4 days straight figuring out how to do this. But your the new website is www.pictureprayers.com, and of course I'm sure that's linked up over at HeidiHollis.com and all the
right.
others, and we've got links through that.
Yeah, we got links for everything.
Talk. Heidi, you never cease to amaze me, and I have to say thank you so much.
We always, we'll have you on a gazillion more times.
I hope
awesome.
You will.
Don't
thank
leave
you
just
so
yet.
Much.
Yeah, hang on the line for one thing. We just got to do one more piece of business, and then we're out of here, and then we get the party afterwards. Right, Heidi?
Oh, yes, of course.
I really screw up your name again. I've done this to Heidi a couple times. I've called her Holly before.
That's all right.
Yeah, well, it's an amalgamation of her
there
first
you
and last name. But
you
guys, I have to say thank you to Heidi Hollis. Of course, I have to say thank you to Stacey Horn and for teaching us about Duke University and what's going on there. Or what
Real quick, and this, and I save this to the end to screw with all you people out there because I love to do this kind of stuff. Robbie Thomas contacted me from the Can-Am Paracom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's coming up in just a couple weeks.
Contacted me and said, hey, I got 2 free tickets for you guys to give away. So what I'm going to do here to mess with you guys even more is if you've made it to the end of the live show and you've listened live, email me right now at scottl@ghostlytalk.com. I'm going to give 1 ticket away to a live listener, right? So if you email like right now or the next couple of minutes, the first email, it's the first come, first come serve for this thing, right?
Right.
First email comes in during the live show here, which we're at the tail end of the live show, you get 1 ticket. Now, I'm going to reserve 1 now for the archive listeners because I've gotten complaints from people. So we beg to please here, of course. So what we're going to do is for the archive, if you're listening to this archive right now, whether it's podcast or whatever it may be, right? ScottL@ghostlytalk.com. I'm giving you guys a shot at 1 ticket also. First come, first serve for that, right? I'll keep an eye out for this thing, right? And it's going to be first come, first serve for the live show right now. And then when I post this thing up, probably tomorrow or whatever, people start listening, you send an email in also, okay? So I'm going to split it up between 2 factions here, right?
You are tricky, tricky, tricky.
I'm a bastard. I know that.
It's past.
Right.
We got to go. Thank you, Heidi Hollis.
Yeah,
thank you again. Stacey Horn.
Thank
and,
you, guys.
Yes, hang on a moment. And, wow. So next weekend,
We're here
in studio. Hopefully all 3 of us will find out, depending on
it's
how
it's been
our
a
lives
weird
change.
Year, man. We've just been, it's been like a, just like duck, duck, goose around here playing this show. But
and I, but one thing that's the same is our audience, and I want to thank each and every one of you for listening. I hope you learned stuff. I hope you enjoyed it. And we'll be back again next week for more great fun stuff with Ghostly Talk. And for this week, this has been Ghostly Talk, and I've been Doug.
I've been Scott L., and we'll see you guys soon.